The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
So 2 weekends ago, my wife and I were headed up to Appleton to see our daughter and her husband and our grandson. And it's just a beautiful afternoon. We're on Highway 41 headed north. Now they call it I-41. And cruising along, got on the music that we like to hear, Koine, got Koine on. And just a beautiful afternoon thinking about seeing our grandson, and then that disturbing image in the rearview mirror. It's a state trooper, and the cherries are lit up, and he's pulling me over, and the speed limit is 70. I was not breaking the speed limit. I don't know why he's pulling me over, but he is. And sure enough, he gets out of his car, and I roll down the window, and he speaks to me, and he says, "Sir, I noticed that you were obeying the speed limit perfectly. I noticed that you were obeying the law. I just stopped you to ask you, did you enjoy that? Do you like keeping the law?" Now, you know I'm making this story up, right? Because, see, that would never happen, right? That would never happen, just like it would never happen that somebody, an IRS auditor, would call you into his or her office and say, "I called you in because your taxes are done perfectly. But I wanted to ask you, do you joyfully pay taxes to the government or begrudgingly?" That would never happen either. And when you think about it, there's a reason for that. The reason is this. There are people who live among us, and maybe some are in this room right now, who must enforce the laws of the land. And they care nothing about how you feel about it. They care nothing about whether you feel it in your heart to enjoy obeying the law. You will never be arrested or fined for not wanting to pay your taxes or not wanting to keep the speed limit. All the law of the land, this land, is ever looking for is outward compliance. That's it. And that's enough. God's law is completely different. It's a 180 from that. And Jesus comes to us today and he talks about that. God's laws, best summarized in the Bible by what we call the Ten Commandments, they never stop at outward action. They never stop at outward compliance. But instead, they search our hearts. And to God, it's not good enough to just keep God's law out here. It has to be kept in here as well. And Jesus makes this perfectly clear today, maybe I should say painfully clear, when he speaks these words from the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Reka,' which is essentially like using an expletive, a bad word, calling somebody a name. Reka is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Wow. Very frank words from our Savior with one point. When you're talking about God's law, it's the heart that counts. And if God is looking for a clean heart from us, and he is, then we had better focus our hearts on Jesus. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. That's a pretty hefty chunk of scripture, and that's the Sermon on the Mount, those three chapters. And I gotta say that it's been my observation that the Sermon on the Mount has been one of the most misinterpreted pieces of scripture in the Bible. I think the reason for that is because a lot of times people forget to whom Jesus was speaking. The Sermon on the Mount is addressed to disciples, not the 12 apostles, more than that, believers, men and women who had already set their hearts on Christ. They had already come to faith in Christ. They were believing in him as the Messiah. And so, Jesus does not speak the words of the Sermon on the Mount as sort of a manual on how to become a disciple, but instead, it's this beautiful statement of how disciples live, how they answer the question, how shall I glorify God with my life? And Jesus says, a disciple is going to be concerned about the heart. So he pulls two of the commandments out of the ten. They're the ones that we call the fifth commandment and the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. And Jesus makes this point. Did you know that you can be a murderer without taking somebody's life? And adultery happens not just outwardly, but in the mind. And in the heart. Anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. And anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So just hateful thoughts and words wanting to harm our neighbor. Not going to get you in trouble with the state trooper. But God sees it. Lustful thoughts, wanting to commit adultery, is the same as doing it as far as God's concerned. And lest we forget how seriously God takes sin, Jesus shocks some sense into us about the serious nature of sin when he says that it would be better for us if our sins are taking us away from trusting God,
And if they're taking us into hell, it would be better for us to gouge out an eye or lop off a hand, because it would be better, it would literally be better to be maimed in heaven than to have a whole body in hell. That's how serious God is about sin. And I don't even know what to think of all this. The first thing that occurs to me is how I must guard my heart, right? You know, we Christians are fond of saying things like, there's just too much sex and violence in TV and on the internet, and you just can't get away from it, which reminds me of something Martin Luther once said: I cannot keep a bird from flying over my head, but I can keep it from building a nest in my hair. So guarding our hearts starts with not setting our heart on the filth that is inevitably going to be out there. But then I think about this, maybe you too. Oh, I have failed. I've failed so often. I have not guarded my heart the way that Jesus wants me to. And if I'm perfectly honest with you and you're honest with me, these words of Jesus to us today about the fifth and the sixth commandment, they just make us feel rotten. Because what no earthly judge will ever see, the Almighty Judge always sees. And those sins that no one else on earth knows about, God knows about. It's no wonder that about God's law, the Apostle Paul once wrote to the Romans, through the law we become conscious of sin. And to the Galatians, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Yes, God's law, his perfect law, this is divine stuff. And yet it is a curse because we have broken it. The problem is never with God's law. The problem is always with us, and that is why this word from Jesus today, it makes us feel rotten. And I'm here to tell you, don't fight that feeling. Because when we feel rotten, we are convicted. And when we are convicted of our sin, then God's law is doing exactly what it was designed to do. When I stare into the mirror of God's law, there ain't no way I am ever going to say that I am a righteous man, that my righteousness is going to get me to heaven. No way. When I contemplate the perfect standard of God's law, all I can do is flee. I mean run as fast as I can to the only one who can make me righteous before the Lord. When I contemplate God's perfect law and it comes down on me and it shines a light into my sinful heart, I'm on my knees in the corner of the temple with that tax collector in Jesus' parable, and all I can say is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And praise God, he did. Praise the Lord that God has had mercy on every one of us, and that mercy is the person of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if God's law demands that you have a clean heart, and it does, then we better fix our heart, focus our heart, turn our heart to the Lord Jesus in faith. You know, before he spoke these words to us in the Sermon on the Mount about breaking the fifth commandment and the sixth commandment, not just with our actions, but also with our minds and with our hearts, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. Thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling the law. You know what that means, right? You know that our Lord Jesus, every step of his life, with every breath that he took as he walked among us, as he lived among us, our Lord Jesus kept every commandment of God. Every step of the way. And not just with his actions, but also with his thoughts and his words. And that, thus he fulfilled the law. And he did that in our place. But here's another way that he fulfilled the law. Every just punishment that God's law could ever levy, every condemnation that is deserved by lawbreakers like you and me, every curse that could ever fall upon sinners like you and me, all of that came crashing down on him. On Jesus. And I know this because as he hung between God and people on the cross, between heaven and earth, there he hung on the cross and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was suffering the forsakenness of God that he certainly didn't deserve, but I did. And you did. This is why that same Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So you see, he fulfilled the law by suffering its punishment in our place. And not only was Jesus receiving on the cross, receiving punishment, receiving our sin, but he was giving. He was giving something to us, his righteousness. Righteousness is just a big word for perfectly keeping the law. This is why Paul wrote to the Romans, Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Did you hear that? Everyone who believes gets righteousness. That means Christ keeping the law becomes your keeping the law when you believe it to be true. It means that his clean heart is credited to my account when I believe it to be true. And this is why Jesus implores us. He invites us so urgently, so eagerly to put our trust in him, to believe in him. And when we set our hearts on him, that is when we can fight against temptation. That's when we can say no to the immorality of which he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. The story is told of a mother who was visiting her son for the first time at his new college. And so they're visiting there in his little dorm room, chatting away before she's going to take him out for dinner. And she's disturbed because she can't help but notice that on his bulletin board, there's all these filthy pictures. And she's so disappointed in him, especially because she didn't raise him to be like that. But she didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. But while he wasn't looking, she took a small picture of Jesus out of her purse, and she put it right in the middle of the bulletin board, right in the midst of all of those dirty pictures. And the next time she came back, all the pictures were down, except Jesus. When we focus on Jesus, this is when the sinful wall hangings of our heart come down. By that I mean when I ponder Jesus' selfless love for me, that's going to help me not be so selfish. And when you ponder how Jesus reached out for you and he sought you and he found you when you were lost, that's going to help you reach out to others with compassion and with the Word of God. And when I focus on the purity of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, it's going to be harder for me to have impure thoughts. And when you focus on the generosity that he showed you, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich, well then, that's going to help you be more generous and less stingy with God and with your fellow man. Not only does Jesus cleanse our hearts before God through his perfect sacrifice, but he also gives us the strength when we focus on him to devote our lives to him. And so I say, let us, we who, yes, once had very unclean hearts, may we turn them over to Jesus every day. By focusing on him, by listening to him, may we lay our sins on Jesus and accept from him his righteousness. May we never take the forgiveness of sins that we receive from him for granted, but may that forgiveness, brothers and sisters, that you have, may it inspire you to make your heart Christ's home. It's the heart that counts. Amen.